Coming up on TMS, Smarties, the gateway drug to cocaine.
I'm double sorry.
Therapy ride Tuesdays.
God-given right to double burn.
I kissed a bug and I liked it.
Seppuku is all about the experience.
Shrek salad.
Rainbow bright bird bias.
10 smothered burritos.
Glue gun balls.
Big horny beetles.
Lentils make you fart. It's science.
Getting down to brass tacks with Bill.
And now our science expert, it's just Bobby. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin. The express train from Monterrey has been derailed outside of Mexico City. Early reports indicate an appalling loss of life. There are eyewitness accounts which state that monster scorpions have swarmed around the wreckage, creating havoc.
This is The Morning Stream. All your bays are belong to us.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, March 21st, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Yes, hello. Yellow.
Yellow again. Hello. I just kind of, that's the end of that song.
Yeah, we're gonna be stuck in forever if I let that one go.
Yeah, don't let that go. Hey, I gotta tell everybody a quick recommendation before we do anything else.
Ooh, okay.
If you have not yet heard it and are any kind of fan at all of Deadmau5 albums, his new collaboration with, I forgot the other guy's name. Hold on, it's mostly collab with him, but it's also got some of his solo tracks.
Smokey Robinson.
It is, yes, the corpse of Smokey Robinson. Cascade is the person he does it with. Anyway, okay. Known for, you know, his deep house sort of business. Anyway, out of nowhere, so I got the backstory on it. My nephew, Chuck, who's the head of the band Brother, who performed at one of our TMS Vegas a couple
Park.
Years ago.
Yeah, the TMS Vegas we had at Container Park.
I think our last... one before the pandemic, right? 2019?
Yeah, so 2019, yeah.
Anyway, he, back in 2020, some producers asked him to come into the studio to record some tracks, and they didn't say what for. They were just like, okay, well, he was working with a label, and they were going to try to see if anyone would pick these up. So they were doing some demo tracks. So he went and recorded these tracks, and they didn't hear anything about these tracks until, like, a week ago.
Okay.
And a week ago, they call him and go, Chuck, good news. Your song's on the new Deadmau5 album.
Oh, yeah, that's great. What a great way to find that out.
It is great. Like, he kind of like freaked him out. He's like, what, really? Whoa. And so basically what happened is Deadmau5 took that track and then added, you know, the Deadmau5 part and made a track out of it called Powder Blue, which is the fifth track on the new album. Anyway, the whole record is freaking slamming. It is so good.
Cool.
I love it so much, and that particular song's really good. So there's a little nepotism there for me on track five, but the rest of it, really good. So just a quick album recommendation. It's called KX5, which is really just Deadmau5 with the five.
That's a Mazda.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like a Mazda, doesn't it? The new KX5. It's his, again, this thing he did with Cascade. It's up on Spotify and Apple Music, and it's great. Really cool. Good. So go give it a listen.
I just actually listened to the T-Pain, brand new T-Pain cover album, which is surprisingly good. Like, I didn't know what to expect going into it because, I think T-Pain, I really think Lonely Island, I'm on a boat, I'm wearing flippy floppies. That whole thing.
I just think auto-tune. That's all I think.
That's why I think auto-tune as well. So far, I don't know how much I've heard. It's not noticeable if he's using it, but he's got a cover of Don't Stop Believin' by Journey, Change is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, Stay With Me by Sam Smith. Nice. War Pigs by Black Sabbath.
Oh, and War Pigs. Actually, I love that song.
It's actually really good.
Really?
It's surprisingly. Yeah, it feels like very immersed in just soul. Just your R&B 80s, 90s soul. No,
interesting. That's an interesting take on that song, because that song is so like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's not even metal. I don't know how to describe that song.
War Pigs?
Yeah, War Pigs is like, I mean, it's Black Sabbath, so it's metal, but it's like a different. Yeah,
but it's not your typical, It's certainly not your typical metal song.
Mm-mm. But oh, I love that song though. So good.
And rose gather in their masses.
Something, taking something
home economic classes. They are
wearing contacts instead of glasses.
Emitting stinky lentil gases.
Why lentils?
Because lentils make you fart. It's been scientifically proven.
That's
lentils
true.
Are.
I mean, it's a bean, right?
It's a bean. Yeah, it's a legume.
Those beans will get you every time, man. I got an important note here from Tristan, not your son, different Tristan.
Sure, sure.
He's from Edmonton.
He spells it horribly.
Yeah, it's T-R-Y-S. I guess it's Tristan.
Try, Stan.
Try, Stan.
Like you're just urging Stan to come on, give it one last go.
Yeah.
Try, Stan.
Come on, try, Stan. One more time. Just do it for us. Well, Try, Stan from Edmonton, Alberta, wrote in about episode 2426 and says, those aren't M&Ms in your trail mix. They're Smarties. I think they're M&Ms here. Right?
Yeah, here they're M&Ms. What we call M&Ms, the UK, and I guess Canada, I didn't realize Canada as well, calls Smarties, those candy-coated chocolates. Here, Smarties are little non-chocolate, little hard...
Mm-hmm. Little discs.
Sugar discs. Little discs.
Yeah. They're the ones I had a friend in high school, used to crush them up and snort them because he was weird.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, he has nose issues now. Like, legit.
Does he? I'm not surprised.
But I'm not sure it's from the Smarties in high school or the cocaine he did in college. It could be that.
Really? I can't believe Smarties were a gateway drug to cocaine. I love it.
I think that guy just wanted to put powder up his nose. It really just felt like it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was Snuff, like when I was in junior high school, Snuff was huge out here.
I haven't heard of that in so long. What happened to Snuff? Is it still a thing? I assume it is, but there was a hot minute there. Snuff. Yeah, there was a hot second in the 80s, early 80s, where every kid thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Except me.
Except for me and Scott, who thought it was dumb and did not follow. I think that was the first salvo in my war against the sheep. Mm-hmm. War against the following the herd in high school. Like, no, I'm not doing that garbage. What are you, stupid?
Yeah, Snuff was a weird thing. It was basically just, what was it, like powdered tobacco product or something?
I think so, yeah. Snorted. But there was something that they snorted, too. It wasn't just the... Because there was the... Snuff was the stuff you snorted, right? As opposed to the
I think
tobacco.
So. They'd put it on their little knuckle crease here and go like that. And then everybody would go, whoa, and you'd wear like a Rush shirt while you did it and stuff like that. That's my memory of it.
Let's see. Yeah, powdered tobacco. You're right. There you go. Powdered preparation of tobacco used by inhalation.
It can't be good for your membranes and whatnot, right? Like chew is pretty bad too for the same reasons. Don't be doing that stuff. Rebel scum in the chat says Snuff is great. Well, all right then.
It was made by Copenhagen, so that's why I thought it was like a, like it was a cheek and gum kind of thing. Like
For a long time, I thought that Snuff, when they would say Snuff, I thought they meant the movies with death in it. Snuff films.
Oh, yeah. Snuff films. Sure.
So I'd hear that and go, ooh, that sounds scary. So and so had
some. I
didn't
know what those were until I was educated by Nicolas Cage, I believe.
Yeah, he'll let you know what's up. Those faces
Bio
of death
says,
movies.
In 2018, he got a job in Seattle and sat next to a guy who spit his chew into a soda can. So gross. My college roommate, a guy named Jay, I won't reveal his last name, although I should look the guy up and see what he's doing these days, used a transparent plastic Mountain Dew bottle.
Oh my gosh.
Spit his stuff in there. So it wasn't even like, at least in a can, you just get the sound of it and you forget about it for a second. There, it's like, it just sits on our shared desk.
That's so gross.
And he'd reuse it. Oh yeah. Jay was, Jay could get four wears out of his clothes because he would wear it frontwards, backwards, inside out, frontwards, and inside out, backwards.
Jay was just about conservation, it turns out. He just wanted to...
Yeah, Jay was the laziest F, but God, he was a talented artist. Pissed me off. Like,
let me tell you what's gross, though. That is so gross in that bottle. Here's the reason.
Yeah.
It's one thing. It's gross that you're spitting it in anything, one.
Yeah.
Two,
yeah.
It's gross that it's a bottle. And three, I guess the two doesn't really matter. But three... It's a semi-translucent yellow tinted bottle, which means, or green, which means that you're going to not only see the crap he spit in there,
yeah,
but it's
yeah.
going to have the tint, it's which the makes snow. It look worse.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, the green tint on that brown, but then there's this kind of minty smell.
That's foul, dude.
I just found him, by the way.
What's he up to? Search. Anything good?
He owns a... Oh, man, do I even say... He owns his own studio. He's been doing 30 years experience in the animation, graphic design, and gaming industries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had a career then.
I should friend him.
Yeah, friend him. Friend him. Find out what's going on. He might spit in your... he'll spit in your reply. And you'll smell mint when you get it.
There you go. Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah.
Forget. Incredibly talented artist just ticks me off. That.
Yeah, man, the better they are, the weirder they are. That's what I was told. I know,
exactly.
Anyway, so thank you, Tristan from Alberta, and we'll keep that in mind.
If he sees that I followed and he reaches back out, should I say, dude, so good to hear from you. Man, you were so talented. By the way, still spitting chew into a plastic Mountain Dew transparent
bottle? Ask him. Say, are you doing that? And are you also still, is that the shirt you're having on right now, is it 4 days old?
That's right. Oh, yeah. And he listened to Knights in White Satin incessantly, like over and over. That was his favorite song. And I think at least I heard it once a night while we were...
Oh my gosh.
Roommates in college. And we were in, this was not like roommates where we've got, a couple rooms, a bathroom, blah, blah. No, this was a one room dorm room with two beds in it and a shared desk and two closets. And that's it. Like basically.
Dang.
I heard whatever he was dishing out. He heard whatever I was dishing out. He probably, he could probably say, oh yeah, well, Brian, you were like, you did this and you did this and you did this to be irritating. So. I can't speak.
Maybe he has a list of things Brian did. We don't know.
I bet he does. Maybe he'll reach out and say, hey, what annoyed you about me in college? What did I do?
Well, let's look into some deeper into Brian's life.
Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
I was sent a list by an anonymous sender. Okay. I don't have their name, but I love this.
Do you have the background on this list? Because...
I don't have a background at all on this. I don't know where it's from or what
the deal
is. So
this comes from, somebody posted this like on Instagram, and this is a list that somebody printed up, laminated, and put on the back of their seat, the back of their passenger seat, so that somebody getting into their Lyft ride could choose from the following 10 options for the kind of ride they want.
Okay, it's like a menu for them.
A menu. And so when they get in, they look at this list and say, I'll take the number 5, please, or something like that, right?
This is great. I didn't realize that this was like a selection thing. Have you thought about doing this for your rides? Or
I don't want to go to the effort. I really, well, let's go over the list and I'll talk about why I don't want to do this.
All right. All right, here's number 1. The awkward ride. You ignore this menu completely. Then we sit in silence for the remainder of the ride. That's number 1.
Uh-huh.
So I'll bet a lot of people would choose 1. I guess if it's paper, though, you're not really choosing anything. This is just like a fun thing back there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're not going, I'll have the number 1 driver. No one does that, right?
No one does that. I mean, especially number 1, because you ignore the menu completely. So the number 1 will never get chosen because it immediately destroys rule number 1.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, by choosing number 1, you've eliminated number 1.
All right, here's number 2, the funny ride. I tell you jokes or entertaining stories from my life. That would be Brian in this case.
I don't want to do, like, you start a conversation with me, I'll talk, but I'm not going to be like, let me tell you about the time that I had a concert in Las Vegas with Richard Cheese.
Yeah, I agree. That's a bummer. That's like the chimichanga on a Mexican restaurant menu. No one really wants to make it. It's a pain in the ass. It's a pain, but you have to have it because you're a Mexican restaurant. You have to put it on there. So.
Yeah.
But it's hard to make.
That's a very interesting, like, that's an analogy I love, man.
Oh, good. I got one right. That feels good.
Oh, yeah. You get them right all the time.
I get them. They're always right to me.
Yes. They're real to me.
They're real to me, man. All right. Here's 3. The silent ride. And then that's all it is, obviously.
That's all it is. Like, not even any description, because what more do you need? Just the silent ride.
Just be nice and quiet.
That's the number 1 if they read the menu.
Right.
As soon as they read the menu, the number 1 becomes the number 3.
Yeah, number 3 and number 1 are swappy. Number 4, the creepy ride. I don't say anything, but I keep staring at you in the rearview mirror. I like this one.
God.
I like this one. Because if you're a little, you know, if you're not sure about somebody or they got like two mouths or something, you're going to be checking them out going, oh, what's that about?
I worry about the four, the creepy ride, because I'm a conscientious driver. I like to know, like, who's in front of me, who's behind me, who's on either side of me in the car. And I like, you know, I'm constantly checking the mirrors so that I know, like, oh, if I need to change lanes really quick because the exit's coming up, I want to know what car is on my right that I need to look for to be aware of, right? Oh, I know there's a red sedan coming up on my right side, and I just kind of look for it. And if I don't see them, then I know that they're either hanging back in my blind spot or they've moved over a lane and I missed them.
Right, right.
And so I'll constantly, you know, be looking around and driving, kind of looking up and looking, you know, and then I'll look in the rearview mirror to see the cars behind me, but my eyes will just for a second drift over to the person in the back seat, who will then be like, look up from their phone and see that I'm looking at them, and I have to like immediately.
Yeah.
Well, so, just look at the red sedan. Make wait for the red sedan.
Yeah, you don't want to make eye contact at in those awkward situations. I get it.
Exactly.
So it reminds me. What does that remind me of? Oh, that reminds me of that movie with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx, where he drives Tom Cruise around. The Michael Mann movie. Can't think of the name of the movie.
Collateral.
Collateral. Oh, I love Collateral? That movie so much.
That's a good movie. That's a good movie.
So good. All right, here's number five, the karaoke ride. We rock out to hits from the 80s, early 2000s, or literally whatever you want. You're closest to this, I think.
I've done this. I've had people who got in the car and said, oh my God, you like Oingo Boingo? We love Oingo Boingo. Play the song by Oingo Boingo, because they see I have the sticker on the back of my car.
Right.
And so I'll like play that, and then they're like, oh, play this. Usually, I mean, the only time it's ever happened is when I pick up drunk girls. They want to hear specific songs, and they don't know the words to them. And I don't want to sit there and while I'm driving, constantly be telling my Apple device, my smart assistant on my Apple's device, what song to play, because inevitably, they will be yelling, the other people in the car will be yelling and talking and, you know, saying everything while I'm trying to get SIRI to do what I want.
Yeah. And you're going to say, like, play, I don't know, Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
Right,
instead, they're going to start some song by T-Pain again.
Exactly.
Because they didn't hear it right.
Provider of my Oingo Boingo sticker, TV Zegon, right there in the chat.
Oh, very nice. Well, it's been a few days, TV Zegon. Yeah. Nice to see you here. Here's one, the bubbles ride. We blow bubbles the whole time.
F that.
Who would do that? That seems like a real bad idea to me.
Just bad. Like, oh, yeah. That bubble juice is never going to get spilled in my car with, you know, drunk people blowing bubbles or setting it down on the
Yeah, run, you think you know? Bubbles, it's like, oh, it's soap. What harm can it cause? Dude, it's the worst.
It is the worst. Why not?
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe I'll set up a fog machine in my car, too. That sounds like a great idea, too.
Yeah, don't do any of this. It's all bad. Yeah,
all right.
How about this one? The small talk ride. We talk about how crazy the weather has been lately, and I ask if you caught the game last night.
By default, that's most of the rides I get.
Yeah.
Kind of that and a combination of another ride we'll get to, but that's...
In the Mexican restaurant situation, this is the smothered burrito.
This is the smothered chicken burrito.
Yeah, that everybody wants.
Combination one.
Yeah, combo one. Everybody always gets it. It's just the common thing. They're always making 10 of them in the back. It's just an easy one to make. That's the one.
Yep.
Exactly. Number eight, the therapy ride. You vent to me about your problems and I listen. That happens sometimes, right?
Good. 10% of my rides are therapy rides. And I've tucked people into going back into rehab. Like one of my first weeks of driving, I got sent up to Longmont and I picked up a guy. We were going to pick up his car because he left it at the bar. And I said, oh man, that's super, you know, very good, responsible of you. He's like, well, it's responsible of me, but it's my one responsible thing I've done in a sea of irresponsible things. And so we talked the whole time about, you know, he's had this drinking problem and he's just not sure. And I said, well, you know, just go, you need to find someone just to talk to. You don't have to go jump right back into rehab or jump into something like that, but find somebody, you know, find somebody who can, you can just talk with. And, Because we're almost at your car and your time is up.
Yeah, your time is up. I'm sorry. I have other appointments. You're going to have to get out of the car.
Exactly. Now. Yes.
How about
Tina's great at the therapy ride. She turns all of her rides into therapy rides.
Oh, every ride is a therapy ride with Tina. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so how did that make you feel? Yeah, going to the mall to, you know, just want to go to the Gap and get some pants. Oh, how do you feel about the Gap? Do you feel like there's a gap in your life that needs to be filled?
That's right. Why do you feel required to wear pants from the Gap?
Interesting that you chose Gap instead of H&M. Is there?
Or the sister store, Old Navy.
Tell me, how was your childhood?
How did the Kmart touch you or something? The drunk ride, you throw up in my car.
Not a chance.
No,
that's
thanks.
I stop. I don't drive after 7 p.m. And I know people can get drunk before 7, but that really significantly reduces the chances that I'm going to pick their drunk butts up.
Yeah, you don't want that. Nobody wants that. Ever.
No, and I do have barf bags both in the pockets in the back of the passenger and driver's
seats.
Oh,
like the airplane type with the little hooks and the stuff?
Not the airplane type. I got some that are like little green rings with a bag.
And
the bag presses into the plastic ring.
Yeah.
Tina got these when she was going through chemo, and we saved them, and turned out they were the perfect thing to put in our cars for this sort of thing.
Have you had anyone use one?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Nobody's ever puked in my car.
That's awesome. You don't ever want that.
I don't ever want that.
Number 10, and finally on the menu, we have the cliche ride. You ask me how long I've been driving for Lyft. Do you get that a lot? Yeah. Where it's like
almost every time. And that was the joke I made during my spree intro for FilmSack was that every single writer asks me, how long have you been driving for Lyft? And I say, oh yeah, you know, a couple of years, but I took a year off for the pandemic, blah, blah, blah. So it is like the every question.
It's hard for people to avoid that one, I'll bet. I bet they just can't stand not asking it.
You know, though it tells me.
It's like weather,
they'll get in.
It's like the weather, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is. It's like they'll get in the car, hey, looks like we're going to 1824 South Market. Yep, that's right. Okay, cool. Hey, if you need, there's a phone charger in the back, bottles of water in that cooler by your feet. Let me know if you need anything.
Right.
Oh, no problem. Sounds good. And then if they say that, then it's like, oh, okay, that tells me that they want to chat while we're driving. I don't need a stupid menu to tell me they want to chat.
No, you don't need a menu. Yeah, you know what? Just intuit this stuff, everybody. Exactly. You don't need to have a menu. All right? You'll be fine.
Right. Exactly. There's 4 or 5 on here that I don't want them to choose.
No, hell no. Just have a smaller menu, like a fancy little place that only opens from like 2 p.m. to 9 or whatever.
Right, exactly. It's a prefix. It's actually you get these three options or you get nothing. That's and those right. are your choices.
The one thing Spree taught me, the movie Spree, is that I will never drink a Lyft or Uber driver's water. I'll never do it again.
I know. It sucks because, you know,
I mean, I'll think of it immediately. Airport. He'll say, hey, there's water back there if you need any. I'll just go, oh, no, I know what you're up to, dude. I've seen your glue gun.
You mind if I check it for residue from a wax gun, a glue gun?
Yeah. Do you have any glue gun balls on there that I missed the first time when I looked?
I think it's just good that movie was so seen by so few people because I don't have to worry about that. Because I pick up people from the airport all the time, and they've never been to Colorado. And they are not used to the altitude, and that you basically have to just stay hydrated the entire time.
Oh, right. Altitude. So, that's why they always did Nerdtacular up there. We always had to tell people, you know, drink and stuff, but you're going to get dehydrated quick because you're higher elevation. So drink.
Alternate your booze with glasses of water. And even in Vegas, I know it's not altitude there, but dude, when you're in Vegas, make sure you alternate your alky beverages with some water because you need it.
Especially if you go in there in like July or August, you're going to. It's really hot. So,
yeah. I mean, I'd say out of regular rides, 5% of the people actually help themselves to a bottle of water. Airport rides, when I pick somebody up from the airport, probably a good 30, 40% of people.
Well, you look trustworthy. Like, I'd get in your car and go, oh, wow, this is the friendliest thing I ever did. I'll just have that water. I wouldn't think about it twice. But now I've seen this movie and I just feel like flat general rule. I'm not drinking anybody's water ever again.
I know. Yeah.
Too tamperable.
I'm certainly not going to drink it if it's like, this is some weird tasting water. Is this some sort of like, is this natural water? Is this smart water? What am I tasting in this?
Ooh, you reminded me how much I don't like smart water. Ugh.
But you reuse a smart water bottle. Isn't that bottle next to you a smart water bottle?
No, this one is just a Kirkland.
Kirkland. Okay. It looks like
It does. You're not wrong. It does kind of. But the smart water flavor ones, they're like, oh, this one's peach or whatever. No, it isn't. It's freaking saccharine nightmare. It's awful. Terrible. Oh, speaking of music, Brian, in your car.
Yeah.
We got a call. And
ooh, cool.
You know, we sometimes have people who we'll make a claim or a comment on the show, and they'll say, yeah, I got to pipe in and give my opinion on a thing. Well, that's what happened
here. They have to rebut.
Yeah, this is a rebut from Jason. This is about vinyl records and the difference in sound and that sort of thing. So enjoy.
This is Jason from Pennsylvania. I'm just calling to comment about a discussion, I think it was last week or so, about whether records sound better than digital or CDs. I'm a music producer, and I get this question all the time. And the actual answer for whether records sound better than anything else is depends what you put on it. You can put CD quality music onto a record, and it's going to sound like a CD. If you put a higher current quality version on it, it's going to sound like that higher quality version. If you put an MP3 quality version of your music onto a record, it's going to sound like an MP3. Where this really gets interesting is if you think about your older records, like, say, Dark Side of the Moon, like you guys were talking about last week, they took that straight, completely analog from tape and put it onto record. I guarantee that sounds better than a digitized version on your CDs, or even the digitized versions, which technically take samples of the music, like a film would at a certain rate, and turn it into a digital file. If it's completely straight from the tape, it's going to sound better than a digital version of it anyway. So that's your quick and dizzy answer for whether records sound better. They can, they might not. Have a good one. Bye.
Interesting. They can, but they might not. You know?
The irony that we get a sound quality explanation from that phone call.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like this. Obviously in his car and it's a little rough and all that, but it is kind of funny that we're talking about sound quality from a call that's not that great.
And Pops and Recline made the same joke, but I was thinking about doing that before I even saw Pops and Recline's comment in the chat room.
That's right. Recline, Pops.
That's a very, very good point. And you know, the 180 gram vinyl records versus the thinner, because you've got, I don't know if it's, this might be another question for him, like deeper grooves in the 180 gram vinyl, or it's just sturdier, so
it doesn't
flop around or something.
Yeah. I wondered, I didn't think about that. Maybe the density of the grooves or some other factors play into it. I don't know.
Yeah. But there's so many factors in that. And this, you know, this is like a $200 turntable I've got up here.
Yeah.
With so many records on it, stacked on top of it, you probably wonder, how can Brian listen to anything on there? And the truth is, Brian hasn't listened to anything on there in a couple of weeks, and he needs to.
Yeah.
But the $100 or the $200 turntable isn't going to sound as good as a much higher direct drive, better needle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, basically, there's so many factors that. If you can throw money at it and have a very, very good listening experience. And this is connected via USB to my computer. So it's, you know, I'm again at the mercy of whatever my speaker sounds are.
Sure.
Or my headphones or whatever.
Right. So. That's a lot of it as well, is how good is your output, not just your input. Yeah, I don't know. I've kind of from afar watched people argue about fidelity when it comes to records or vinyl versus, you know, other formats. And I kind of just don't care. It's like, I'll put on these, where are they? Right here. I'll put on these like sound isolating monster headphones and I'll listen to that Deadmau5 album and it sounds incredible to me. Now, you know, it is Apple's lossless format, which is a better sound and all of that. But, and you know, Spotify does its thing or whatever. So you're getting probably the best you're going to get digitally, but it just, to me, it's aces and I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm enjoying it. It's loud. It's bassy. It's fine.
For me, the turntable advantage is that experience. That experience of slipping the insert out of the record sleeve, pulling the record out of the inserted sleeve.
Right.
Putting it on there, using my disc washer to clean the dust off, and then putting the needle on.
There is something to be said for that whole routine, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
It's like why there's so many Japanese people who kind of swear by the fold the napkin the particular way and drape it over your arm as you carry the, you know, there's the ritual that goes along with the what am I describing, seppuku or something? I don't know, but but whatever it is, there's a ritual that goes along with it. That's as much of the experience as anything else.
Yeah, the ritual of committing seppuku.
You clean off the katana very carefully, and that's then right. You sit on the ground holding the katana with both hands,
wearing that fancy robe you kept just for this occasion. All that stuff.
That's right. Yes.
Well, that's great. We like the deeper dive, and we like hearing from experts. So thank you very much, Jason, for your expertise. I want to give a quick thanks to somebody before we get to the news. Good pal of the show, AJ Bobo. Been listening for a long time, been out there for a very long time. So a while back, I don't know if you remember this, but I drew a Warhammer 40K character.
Okay.
Just a big, cool-looking, you know, buff. Once in a while, I get in the mood for this sort of thing. And he just looks like a big space marine-looking dude. And kind of nondescript. I wasn't going for a particular army or whatever. So all you 40K heads out there, chill. I wasn't doing anything super serious. I just wanted to make, like, a cool-looking 40K guy. So I did. I drew it, put it out there, didn't think about it again. AJ Bobo is a guy who paints 40K figurines.
Oh, cool.
So he painted one exactly the colors and style that I did mine in. And I love it so much that I will never let it leave. I will hold on to the... I didn't bring it to put on camera like an idiot.
I will never let it leave until right this moment when I did not bring it to the studio.
Yeah, I meant to put it in here. It's upstairs. But it's so freaking cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I love it so much. Cool. And I just wanted to give him a big, hairy shout out for making such a rad little thing. It caught me by total surprise. I didn't know it was going to be there. It was in the P.O. box. Bam. Yeah. Made my entire week. So thank you, AJ Bobo. That was really nice. I mean, I could have gone through the trouble of saying, hey, Brian Ibbiter, hey, Brian Dunaway, print me a 40K guy.
Sure.
Send him in the mail. Okay, now I'll paint him and try to be exact. No, I had a perfectly suitable expert named AJ Bobo do it, and he's amazing. So anyway.
That's awesome.
Let us now drift over to the newsroom. And do a little bit of news brought to you by
Wet Day Old Salad.
Okay, so we went to Kim's sister's house and her parents. Sure. Everybody were there. We had a family thing on Sunday. Nice. And her sister, Julie, who I call Jolie, just for no reason. okay. I don't know why. I always have. Just always called her Jolie. Don't know why.
Okay.
She made... And she, her other sister, Danielle, I called Darnell. So I don't know. It's just the thing.
Oh, really?
I do.
So you just do it with, okay.
Gotcha. I don't know why I do it. I don't do it with Sarah or Angel or other two sisters. But anyway, they're all there hanging out, doing their thing. And she always makes the salad. It's always amazing. Just this like spinach with mixed greens and amazing like homemade dressing stuff she does and all these little bits. So good. And it was incredible. And at the end of the night, I'm like, I'm bagging some of that and taking what's left because I love that. I'll eat it tomorrow. So I did that.
Heck yeah.
Now, this is a pre-mixed salad, meaning while we're there eating it, prior to us eating it, she had mixed it. So all the stuff's in there, including the dressing. It's perfect. All good. Right. Here's the problem. You make a bag of that. You take it home. You put it in the fridge. You open it the next day for lunch. It's not the same.
It's been soaking in that dressing that whole time.
Yeah. I expected Shrek to pop out and go, get out of my swamp. For real. It didn't happen, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't recommend it. Let's do this. Let's tell you about this story. Canada, boy, you're in the news now. Hold on. Here's your thing.
Canada!
They're giving the middle finger to everybody by saying it's a God-given right, according to a Canadian judge, to give the middle finger. All right?
Yeah, but do they do it with a sorry? Sorry!
Sorry. Sorry! Oh, I'm so sorry for this! Oh, sorry!
Sorry!
I love it! I love the idea that while they're yelling an insult at you.
You could put some Tim Hortons on this. You could put a couple donuts or even one of our coins on this middle finger because there's a hole.
I'm double sorry. I'm so double sorry. Anyway, we love Canada. Giving your neighbor the middle finger may not have been polite, but it's protected as part of a person's right to freedom of expression under the Canadian Constitution, which often I think we forget other countries have constitutions. We act like ours is some holy writ. But other people have it too.
It's because people have been wrapping themselves in it for the last 3 years. That's why they don't have to wear a mask.
Yeah. In a 26-page decision, Dennis Galactus, I'm just going to call him.
The world eater from Canada.
The world eater, yeah. Dismissed
Galeasatos.
Galeasatos? That sounds right.
Galeasatos, yeah.
Dismissed a case against a man accused of harassing his neighbor in the Montreal suburb. To be abundantly clear, says the judge, it is not a crime to give someone the finger, he said in a ruling on 24th of February. Flipping the proverbial bird is a God-given, charter-enshrined right that belongs to every red-blooded Canadian, he added. Referring to Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Well, that's cool. We have the Bill of Rights. They got the Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
The Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
That's cool. I like that a lot.
Or the CORAF, the CORAF.
Oh, even better. It's just a big thing full of juice.
I tune out as somebody uses the term God-given.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Get it if you don't believe in God? Is that the deal?
What if you're an atheist? Yeah. You don't, it's just
if you believe in Allah or Jah or one of those other ones.
Well, those are other gods, so you could technically say it's under the thing.
Oh, that's right.
But if you go,
God-given right, man.
If you say it's a Jesus-given right, then you're, you got a bias there. If you say Crom, then who is the god of the?
Crom is Conan's
F-word. That's right. Conan, right? Yeah, it was Conan.
It was Conan. Yeah.
Okay. By Crom, I'm here with my sword.
Well, maybe because I thought he would say, "No, you're right." I think Crom might have been a deity, but I was thinking it was like Crom, man. I stepped on my sword. Ah, Crom.
I can't remember. It's been so long since I've seen that. Yeah. But. Anyway, the accused is Neil Epstein. He's a teacher. He's been arrested by police in May 2021 for uttering death threats and criminal harassment against his neighbor, which is like, I'm going to kill you. Sorry. I'm going to kill you. Yeah. Sorry. I'm so sorry about wanting to kill you. in his decision, he launched a stinging rebuke of the neighbor and complainant. And he says nothing more than mundane, petty neighborhood trivialities is what this was reduced to.
It feels like if he issued death threats and harassed his neighbor, but also gave him the bird, it feels like the middle finger is probably the lightest of the problems.
You think he's over focusing on the bird and
maybe
not enough on the death threats.
Yeah, maybe you're looking at the, let's just take that middle finger and we're going to put it over here and we're not going to look at it. Let's look over here at the death threats. That little middle finger's over here. We're not looking at it. We're not paying attention to it. But over here, we've got the death threats. Let's focus on the death threats.
Yeah. And even this person claimed that previously this Epstein dude assaulted his parents in March of that year, and that claim also got dismissed by the judge. So I think we may have a judge with a bird bias,
Yeah.
He's just super into that middle finger.
He's like just this bird bias judge, nope, I'm really focused on this bird bias. By the way, Rainbow Bright, that was my attempt at a Gilbert Gottfried impersonation. So
also, what's fun to say in line or together? Rainbow Bright Bird Bias. That's fun to say.
Rainbow Bright Bird Bias.
Yep. Rainbow Bright Bird Bias. Ooh, you're better at the tongue twisters than me. I screw up on them.
Not all of them. Like seashells by the, she sells seashells by the seashore. Already.
I do that one bad too.
20 dwarves doing handstands on the carpet. 20 dwarves doing handstands on the carpet. 20. That's not a tongue twister though. That's like what you say to prepare for doing a newscast, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's when you do the peas and succotash. Succotash and peas. Or whatever they do.
Boots and pants and boots. Boots and pants. That one I could do. Not a tongue twister, but just fun to say.
Have you ever heard John Jagger do his tongue twisters? It's insane.
No. Is he really good?
He doesn't have the problem. He can do any of them in rapid succession without a single error. It's
really
crazy. If you've never seen that weird short animation that Carter did of us talking
on
court.
Oh, that's right. That was John centered around some tongue twisters. Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable how he can do that.
I love that thing, and I want to make little 3D Johns and Bows and Yous
I know.
Based on that. And Carter won't do anything. She won't help me. She won't create little little, you know, those animator things where you have like front view, side view, so you get an idea of what they're shaped like.
Yeah, she needs to.
She won't help me.
She needs to get on it. Help me. She's in the chat right now, Carter. What's with the slacking? What's with all the slacking?
She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I got to go to Iceland. Screw you, Brian. I think is what she said. I have it recorded somewhere. And
I think her and her friends are working on a plan for London or something.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, that's awesome. They're gonna do
and by the way, Carter, I'm 100% kidding. Oh, she didn't have time. She was getting ready to
that was right before she left,
go to Iceland.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. She had other things going on. And
Well, now you have no excuse. Get on it, girl. Although I'm mad at her because last night it's not her fault. I totally spaced it, but we were supposed to watch Brian and Charles again because I need her to see that movie.
And that's the robot friend, right?
The weird Northern England robot movie. Yes. I loved it so much, and I was like, I have to watch it with her, and then I keep locking us in, and it was, why is it 100% my fault? She you can have 20% of that. You could have said, Dad, aren't we supposed to watch this? And I go, oh, shoot, yeah, okay, let's go, but I forgot. Yeah. So tonight, Carter, tonight's the night.
if you like that main actor that's in there, you need to watch Afterlife with Ricky Gervais. Like, put that next on your list. Even 1 30-minute, just watch the first 30-minute episode.
Oh, I thought he was only in, I didn't know he was in both that and Dexter. He's in, not Dexter, Derek. He's in Derek as well.
He's in Derek as well, but he's...
I didn't know they collaborated more. That's cool.
They did, yeah. And he's absolutely in Afterlife, and he's... I don't remember him in Derek. I absolutely remember him in Afterlife because he's such a... creepy, memorable character.
He's so weird. I love him.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a story about a man who invented a device that will allow him to kiss insects.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah.
See how you feel about this. Have you ever wanted to kiss your favorite insect? Well, now you're able to do it. Do you have a favorite insect? Let's ask the question. Do you have one?
Do I have a favorite insect?
Yeah. Of all the insects, what do you like? Oh, that one is the...
I like dragonflies a lot. I think dragonflies are freaking cool.
That's a good answer. I like that, too. Yeah. I like those big, bulky-looking beetles that have, like, horns on them. I don't know what they're called.
Horned beetles?
Horned beetles. Is that what they're called?
That's what they're called.
Isn't there a beetle called horn something?
Stag beetles, I think, are
stag beetles, horns. Okay. Yeah, they're big, horny beetles. Which is really only two of those left. Get it? Uh-huh. Anyway, I don't know that they're horny. I have no idea what's going on with Ringo and Paul.
They're still alive. Both of them still alive.
Yeah, they're still Ringo, around.
Ringo is not going to sign anything you have to send. With peace and love, if you send me something for my signature, I'm going to send it right back. With
peace and love. Peace and love to you. Why would he send it back? Just throw it away, you know?
Maybe he does that.
Oh, yes. Does he?
I thought he's discarded.
Unceremoniously flushed down the loo.
It'll be thrown in the bin.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, the bin. I love that you guys call it the bin.
The bin, I know. Oh, and like, binned. Oh, it totally binned that. Like,
I wish we'd have carried that over.
What'd you do with my magazine? Oh, I binned it.
Yeah, I binned it. It's for the bin now, you say. America, we effed up. We took a bunch of stuff from Britain, but we didn't keep the cool stuff. One of them was calling it a bin. Yeah. You know? Garbage day is bin day over there.
It's
bin day. I love it. Yeah. Bin day sounds like something to wipe your butt. Anyway, moving on.
All right. Anyway, yeah.
Where was I? Oh, I'm on this story.
About kissing insects.
That's right. So you have a favorite insect. Favorite insect. Mine is that horned beetle. So
no desire to kiss a dragonfly or any insect.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe the dragonfly wants to kiss you.
Oh, maybe. Maybe that's why it lands on me.
Well, a company named Leg Boot makes weird and funny products. One of the products they produce is Dr. Odom's Bug Kiss, which has little lips for bugs loving. Bug loving. There's a picture of this.
Bugs loving.
Let's look this up because this is a gnarly dude.
Yeah.
There it is. So it's really stupid. I mean, it's the most basic looking idea, but you just put this thing in your mouth, and on one end it covers your lips, and then the other end's like a little tiny version of that, like a little pair of lips, and then you can aim that down and kiss an insect with it.
Okay.
You can buy this. This is a thing.
I'm on their website, legboot.com. I'm on their site. They've actually got a bunch of stuff that is pretty cool, actually.
If I play this video, we're going to see a guy kiss something. Let's see.
Okay. Oh, good.
Isn't oh, there? Here we go. Yeah, there's a YouTube video. Oh, he did it. It has an add-on, so if the lips are too big for its really small insect. Oh, and it comes with a little booklet to mark off what bugs you've kissed. Okay.
Really?
I feel like...
God, look at that.
I don't know what to make of any of that. That's wild. I feel like I've seen into the heart of darkness now. And I don't know how to get out.
This is so bizarre.
It's very weird. Anyway.
Oh, God.
So go look it up if you're interested, you know.
The related posts down below are well, one of them is just absolutely frightening.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, maybe don't look.
Maybe never go there.
Maybe never go there.
That's going to do it for today's news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some stuff with Bill, including a big question for Bill from Amy, and some stuff with Bobby from another question from someone in Canada. Man. What's with the Canadians today? You guys?
So much, you know, we'll just have to give them bird.
Do you know that Jeff Sires coming to Vegas?
Yes, I saw that in his message. I can't wait.
I'm
can't
so
wait
excited. Yeah, stoked to have him here for that. I'm
excited to see everybody who's coming. Don't get me wrong.
No. But there's a few names where it's like, oh, I haven't seen him in 100 years, you know?
Yeah.
Just get excited about it. I can't wait to hug that big old beast. He could beat me up if he wanted. He's great.
Has Bill and Brittany said if they're going to make it or not? I can't remember.
Bill's coming and bringing... Oh, wait, Bill and Brittany, sorry. I'm thinking of Bobby because I do that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard I don't know anything about Bill. I don't know if he's have we even mentioned it to Bill?
We probably should mention it to Bill.
We should probably mention it to Bill. Yeah.
We just assume everybody who's on the show listens to the show and knows what's going on.
Yeah,
we show.
Probably a bad assumption. Anyway, we're going to take that break. And when we come back, those people will be here. Before that, though, we need Brian to play us a little song here in the middle.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've heard recently on the radio, but the Bono's son has a new band. Bono from U2's son has a new band. It's really good. And there are times that it's like, oh my God, that sounds like Bono. And I'm trying to remember the name of it. I'm trying to remember the name of the band, but it's really, really good.
I hope it's called Me Also instead of U2.
As opposed to U2?
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. That's what I want. Yeah. Yes. Probably not going
to
happen.
Now let's move over to another member of the band that Claire, I think, loves so much because everybody, when they find out she's from Ireland, they always ask her if she knows the members of U2.
Yeah.
Another band called, performer named Levi Evans, and he is the son of The Edge.
Oh.
He's the Edge's son.
Does he also wear a little skull cap hat thing?
I don't know. I haven't seen a video of him singing, but...
to cover his horrendous wound or whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, right. Massive seeping head wound. This is Levi Evans and a brand new single that he's released called Faith. This is great. He's going to be touring the West Coast, supporting Big Loud Rock label mates Yam House. So April 6th and 7th, you can go see them. This is great stuff, and hope you enjoy it. Here is Levi Evans and Faith.
We talk as if it's gracious, or what you put on me. A bed under a tree. We spoke a sweet nothing. Can't miss what's detrimental. You know it to be true. We're all a little mental. Just look at us two. I found my faith in a garden far away, with a pill so hard to take, both equally true. I found my faith, don't seem so night and day. Still it feels I just might break. It's the only thing that's keeping me from you.
Mm-hmm.
shut with somewhere to be. You know it ain't cheap. Just take it from me. Oh, I've been there out on the sea. No one to be. Just take it from me. I found my faith in a garden far away, with a pill so hard to take, both equally true. I found my faith, though it seems so mundane, still it feels I just might break.
Think he's Bruce Lee. He refuses to talk with his lawyer, the priest, anybody.
Like I'd go near this 240-pound turd with a mustache.
The Morning Stream. It's what's in the yogurt.
We're back. Tell me one more time about Edge's son.
Sure, that's Levi Evans and a song called Faith. And if you're doing a search online, good luck, because you'll find a lot of Faith Evans. Just to let you know right now.
Be careful.
If you go to Levi Evans' official YouTube channel, which is just called Levi Evans, then you can see his music video for Faith. And you can see that the dude looks a lot like The Edge without the skull cap.
Is The Edge... last name real is his real name Evans?
Yeah.
Edge
Evans. Edge short for Edgeworth. Edgeworth Evans.
Is it really?
No, it's really not.
I want it to be. That would be great.
I can't remember The Edge's real name. I know that Bono is Paul Hewson.
Oh, see, I didn't know that either. I didn't know any. Well, of course, these aren't their real names. What was I thinking?
Let's see. David Howell Evans
is the name of Edge.
David is the real Howell name of
Evans.
The Edge.
My gosh. What a boring ass name. No wonder you changed it to
David to Howell Edge. Evans. Oh, and I'm Paul Hewson. I don't know. Maybe we should change our names for our band. Adam Clayton, I'm good. You guys go on ahead.
Yeah, that's right. He was just like the normal guy.
Yeah, Larry Mullen Jr. I'm good. I'm keeping it. I'm even gonna keep the junior. You guys go ahead and be silly names. We'll play dress up. You guys can do whatever you want, but
that's wild.
Keeping my name.
I don't know. I do that. Like, the internet has, everyone has a nickname. I don't have one.
Yeah.
Not really. Like, I have an all the nicknames I choose for gaming and stuff, but I don't have one. You don't really have one.
I've been called Bibby, but not in an online presence, but people I've worked with. Hey, Bibby, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And then Kathy Bates used that name in Fried Green Tomatoes, and everything just went to hell.
It's all gone straight to shit.
Straight to hell.
Well, let's see if we can go straight to Seattle, Washington, right here, right now.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Hey, look who it is. It's Bill Duran joining us from punishprops.com and the beautiful, wonderful Seattle area, roundabouts. It's nice to have you back, man. How was your week? How you doing?
Hello. It's been a great week. Productive and exciting.
I thought about you a lot this week because I played both a handful of Satisfactory Hours as well as more Dyson Sphere program. And every time I play a game like that, I just think of you and I think of how organized and how well run your factories are. And how mine looks like a big bowl of spaghetti when I get it. It's how I play. And it's really That's embarrassing.
Nice, 'cause I've been playing Satisfactory lately, and I've been thinking about Bill. So.
Yeah, that game's great.
Awesome.
That game's great. I do wish, the one thing I wish that game let me do, and it's because I'm spoiled by Dyson Sphere, because Dyson Sphere has this like very quick early game where it doesn't feel like you're taking forever to get a couple of mineral or, you know, a couple of iron and go make a thing. In Satisfactory, it's like, no, you really got to work for those early bits. You got
to
like...
Yeah, you have to use a screwdriver to chip away at a rock to get a couple hunks of iron.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's ultimately satisfying, no pun intended, because everything else is worth it later, but it's a weird early game.
Yeah,
anyway,
they make you crawl.
They absolutely do. It's good to have you here. I'm going to start things off today by asking you a question that Amy has real fast. We got this VR text number. 801-471-0462, and she asked the following. Have you ever had any experience with melting down plastics or into styrene? If we had, say, metric ass load of plastic spoons and forks and wanted to reconstitute them, what should we use and how do we make sure to keep ourselves safe while doing it, says Amy. Have you ever done that?
So it depends on the plastic. If it is a thermoset, if it's a thermoplastic,
yeah,
it can be remelted.
Yeah.
A friend of mine on Twitter was remelting 3D prints, PLA 3D prints, into little reasonable cubes.
Yeah.
So that's possible, but I don't know about like.
I've seen people do that into pellets too, like where they you know turn 3D prints, grind them down into pellets, and then turn them into new filament.
I haven't seen any non-DIY way to do that, though. Not a lot of people are doing things like that, but I guess it's possible. I don't know about a disposable fork or something, though. I don't know exactly what plastic that's made
out of. Those tend to burn pretty caustically at camps and stuff. Like when you're camping and you put one in the fire, they're like black smoke. It's kind of awful, so I have to wonder if those are safe at all. Whatever those are made of.
Yeah, and also, though, like, certain plastics, when you melt them, they change their structure, and they just don't work as plastic anymore.
Yeah, so, good point. So if somebody's melting down their PLA extras, how do they spool them up? Is that I assume there's probably a machine that'll spool it or melt it down and then put it in a spool? Because that's how you need it, right?
What I've seen is people melting it down into stuff that's not meant to be re-3D printed, just into something else.
Got it.
Like Brian said, put it into pellets.
Yeah.
But you would need a special piece of equipment to then reuse that again as filament. I haven't really seen that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'll tell you, if somebody's going to make a lot of money when they make a PLA printer that's fast, high resolution, all the other things you want out of these days, but also has like a little hole in the back where you feed broken stuff into, or the struts you had to make,
little
or whatever.
Wood chipper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it comes out in a new, like, oh, I've got reusable whatever. Maybe you can only do it once. You can't recycle it every time or something. I don't know what the answer will be, but there's a future in that. Someone's going to make a lot of money when they do that.
I like the idea of just a little door, a little trap door. Yeah. And if you have a print you don't like, throw it in there.
You just push you pull a lever and the trap door opens.
Yeah, it looks like a little Sarlacc pit or something.
Yeah,
pretty good. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here. We're going to talk about making stuff because that's what Bill does. And it inspires us and you at home, hopefully, to make more cool things. Bill, what are we looking at this week?
We have a new video out over on our YouTube channel and our website, punishprops.com. And it's a doozy. It's nearly an hour long. We've been working on it for a while. Quite proud of it. We made one of the butterflies that Jinx uses in Arcane. I believe in the context of the show, they are called Firelights, but they look like butterflies.
Sure.
And I wanted to make mine out of brass because I wanted to learn how to do that. So I've spent a few months on this. We used a few different sort of shapes of brass stock. We got these telescoping tubes. So they're tubes where each one is just slightly smaller than the next and they nest into one another. I use those on things like the legs and the wings. I used some flat plates of brass, so the wings are made out of that. It's about 0.8 millimeters thick, the brass on those wings. It's very thin. And I used a rectangular bar of brass to make the body and the head.
And this is the first time you've messed with brass?
It really is, yeah. This is my first real attempt here.
Is Brass... Okay, that brings up my question. Is Brass... the properties of Brass, like, what do you have? Is there, like, stuff you have
is
to do to
soft,
make...
Softer metal, easier to pliable, mm-hmm. work with like that?
Yeah.
Well, compared to, like, steel, it's actually quite soft. It's pretty similar to brass. You can use a lot of your woodworking tools. I'm sorry, similar to aluminum. Right. you can use a lot of woodworking tools on them. For me, mostly it was the CNC machine. And I have a Shapeoko, which is like a hobby level one, and it worked pretty well. You just have to be a little conservative when you're cutting things like metal.
Yeah.
You can hand work brass really well, like with files and stuff for shaping it or bending it. So if you're looking to get into metal, working with metal, brass is a great place to start. It's not... You don't need a crazy amount of tools.
So you can buy a bunch of... I'm just looking here. You got a bunch of different dowel diameters, mm-hmm. and they fit inside of each other. That's cool. Look at that.
Yeah, it's a telescoping tube. So if you look that up, like telescoping brass tube, K&S makes these ones. I'm sure other companies make them. But they make them specifically for this purpose because they fit exactly into the previous one. There are a lot of reasons why you want to do that, both aesthetically, but also if you're making pistons and stuff or things for like hobby planes, you would use those telescoping tubes.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Okay. That's awesome. When I was a kid, I thought brass was super... I liked it. I thought it was cooler than gold or silver or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because it was everywhere when I was really young. It was popular. Like, as a thing you'd have in your house, you'd have a lot of brass, stuff. But then something happened. It's like people thought it was cheesy or something mm-hmm. happened there. And I feel like for like 20 years, brass was on the outs. Are you going to single-handedly bring brass back into the mainstream?
I think other people have been doing good work as well. So I know a lot of woodworkers will like to use brass along with wood like walnut. Walnut and brass is a very common combination.
Yeah.
but also just the application. I think a lot of... Like, I'm looking at this lamp in my dining room here, and it's got some faux brass-looking fixtures on it that are tacky AF, as the kids would say. And it looks hideous, right?
Yeah.
but if you're using brass in a more selective way, you can make some really, really elegant stuff.
Nice.
I ended up using a lot of CNC on this guy. I used a lot of learning to cut out all the parts. That's the part I think I was the most excited about learning, really getting the repetition in to learn that CNC machine a lot better.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this looks so... It looks like you're almost doing watch parts. This is so tiny.
Everything. Oh, isn't it great?
Yeah.
We have this 60 millimeter macro lens that we use, the Panasonic. Oh, you can also see cat hairs just everywhere in this video since we're so tight. There's cat fur just everywhere.
It's I'm allergic now just looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that's going. All right. This stuff, can you describe the stuff you're using to create the seals? It's almost like a liquid, and then when you heat it up, it becomes what, bonded to the metal? How's that work?
Yep, so that's silver soldering. The goo, the white goo, is a flux. Flux prevents oxygen from getting in there and oxidation and everything.
Yeah.
And then you hit it with a torch. That melts the silver solder, and the two pieces of brass get bonded fairly permanently. This stuff is really, really robust.
So how does the brass not... I guess silver melts at a temperature lower than brass does?
Right, yeah. Okay. The silver solder melts a little lower.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. This looks so hard.
It was tedious. Tedious is the right word. Yeah. Not hard, but tedious.
There you go. Tedium. Are you happy with the results? You think things turned out good?
Yes, I am overjoyed. The butterfly lights up. We put an LED in its butt. And the way it's powered, the batteries are in the base. So its rear legs are actually the contacts for the LED. And when it's set down on its base, it lights up.
That's awesome.
And it has been the nightlight in my bathroom all weekend long.
Oh, that's great. And it'll only be like 30 days till it's completely buried in cat hair. So you got a lot of time.
That's right.
That's really great. You guys go check it out. It's, of course, at punishprops.com and the YouTube channel. And it looks amazing. If you're a what's the name of the show? Gosh dang it, Arcane fan. Then no brainer. Get over there and check that out. Bill, do you have a little bonus something today?
Sure do. Also, at the end of our video, there is about a minute and a half of bloopers. So enjoy that, everyone. Oh,
love those. Cool.
My favorite parts.
This video I'm sharing is from my friend David Picciuto over at Make Something. He took a table from Goodwill and did a restoration on it, completely changed it up, and then he brought it back to Goodwill. I think it's a great idea.
Oh, that is a great idea. So, yeah. So he basically gave someone an upgrade they're never going to know they got.
Absolutely, yeah. It's this really tacky looking, like, 80s
I
style
totally had a table like this with the
Dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you go to Goodwill right now, you can probably get one yourself.
When we were in Woodshop, we made things like that with the inlaid wood and the glue. And that's how my brother made that horrible chess set that had an extra row it wasn't supposed to have.
An 8x9, or was it 9x9?
It was something. No, it was like, what is it normally? 8x8?
8x8.
Yeah, so it was 8.
Oh, so it would be 10x8, right? Then, because you had an extra row on each side, basically.
Yeah, so it was ended up being, and that's where I learned chess. Oh my gosh, it's so stupid.
I guess it could still be 8x9. Yeah, anyway.
And whatever it was too long on one side. And so it wasn't square. And so when I played chess with a whole different set of rules. I had a whole other space to go because of my dumb brother's mistake. But anyway.
Oh, I love that new top that he put over the parquet, the regular parquet top.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Oh, it's cool.
Yeah. Go check that out, you guys. Very rad stuff. Bill, always a pleasure. Hope you're doing well up there. And look forward to doing this again next week. Punishprops.com, everybody. Chinbeard on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next time.
Toodaloo.
Bye now.
Oh, we should have asked him about
Vegas. No, shit. We did it again. We'll do it off air. It's fine.
Bill, if you're still listening, let us know off air if you're coming to Vegas. We'd love to see you.
Yeah. No, no, no pressure or stress, but we're dumb about this sort of thing.
Yes, we are.
Who are we adding now? Bobby is who we're adding now.
Bobby.
Yeah. We got a little Bobby incoming.
I just put on Bill's video recommendation onto our
very nice
TMS.li page.
Yep, go there now.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Oh, wrong one. I did Bill again. Hold on. Here's Bobby's. I got a new Bobby one. Here we go.
Science.
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
I agree. It does look
good.
Wow. Bobby, the soup looks good, and so do you. It's Bobby Frankenberger, a.k.a. I don't have a good name for you. You're just who you are. Mm. You're just Bobby.
A.k.a. Bill.
I call you Bill, yeah.
A.k.a. Bill.
A.k.a. Bill. He's joining us today. Bob and Bill, they're just too close to each other, I guess. I don't know. It throws me off.
Yeah. You're only seconds apart on this show.
That's right. He's our science expert, our guy that comes in and talks about the hot science of the day. And he also has a great science podcast, which we'll talk about later. Bobby, welcome back. And what do you got going? What's going on, man?
Not a lot. So recently my younger daughter's birthday, and she got an ant farm.
Oh, fun.
Fun.
And you know, they make ant farms nowadays. It's not got dirt or sand in it. They just put this like clear or semi-translucent gel in it.
Oh yeah.
Tristan had that. It looks like toothpaste. It's like
and the light will shine through it, and you can see the tunnels that are burrowing.
Do the ants like that? Okay, they don't mind it.
Yeah, apparently they don't mind. I mean, they are digging through this, but apparently, what's cool about it is it's food as well as like substrate they can dig through, so you don't have to do anything. You just dump the ants in and they're fine.
And they don't obviously because they're eating it, they don't pile it up like you usually see with sand around the holes of an ant farm, right?
They pile it up a bit. You do get to see some of that, but it's not as much. You're right. They are eating some of it. But
weird.
Anyway, the reason I bring that up is because I was thinking about insects. Like, you look at those little insects and you can kind of see, like, when you look at an insect colony, it seems very directed and smart. But when you look at an individual ant, like, I watch one of those individual ants, and it's very clear that ant is dumb.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like they don't have, they're just pre-programmed to do a thing. Like I watch one of these ants, it'll pick up either a little piece of this substrate or like another ant's head that died, and it'll just walk back and forth for like.
Yeah, it doesn't care what it is. Its job is right. to grab the thing, whatever that thing is, and then take it back.
Until it runs into whatever stimuli causes it to drop it and go do something else, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's kind of how we think about insects, as these pre-programmed dumb things that just aren't smart,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But there's some research that has been published. There's these two different groups of researchers that have found evidence of social learning in bees.
Ooh, bees. And I like bees.
Bees are awesome. But social learning and possibly even evidence of culture inside bees and their hives.
It's funny you bring this up today. I just saw, I think I may have even retweeted it. I saw a video of some bees. A hornet got into a bee's nest. Everything ignored it.
Yeah.
Until it ate one of the bees. So it walked up and went, ham, nom, 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 and ate this bee. And then the bees dogpiled or bee piled this hornet like I've never seen anything quite like it. It was the most brutal freaking reaction. And they all did it at once. It was like the queen went, two arms or something. And all these bees just went in a huge pile and devoured that freaking.
They were willing
thing.
To give that wasp a chance, you know.
Yeah, they they were gonna, you know, they were gonna let him hang around. You know, don't if he doesn't bug us, we don't bug him. But no, he ate one of the bee. He ate a doorman or whatever. It's like a Walmart greeter version of a bee. And the rest of the Walmart bees went, no, F that, and they killed him.
They're not going to tolerate that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So bees have got a little bit more going on up in the cranium. Seems like.
Yeah, so apparently, because this research shows it. So the first thing, I said there were two groups of researchers. The first group looked at problem solving in bees. There's actually been past research, I think it was published last year, or maybe just early this year, that showed that bees can learn to solve puzzles, which was really cool. It was not known before that was possible. What they did was they had these wooden balls that they would put around the bees, I guess, and then they would learn to push the wooden balls into these like depressions or holes in order to earn a sugary solution, which is what they eat, right?
Yeah, gotcha.
So like nectar. And so the bees would learn how to do that. That was the past research. So these researchers wanted to take that a little bit further.
And then they became precogs and they could predict murders and stuff like a Minority Report.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what they do is it goes through the little track.
The little bees are like pushing it. And it's a murder. Yeah. Oh, no.
Murder. Oh, yeah. Crap.
There's exactly. And then they track down and kill the wasp.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Okay. They saw it before it happened. I see. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And they were just waiting. It's the law. You saw the movie. You have to wait until the crime happens.
Right. You can't. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's what they. Anyway, we're not. Just watch the movie.
Watch the movie. Get in there. Yeah.
So this new research, they wanted to take it a step further. They demonstrated the same thing, but it was a different puzzle. What they had was this small container of nectar of sugary solution with either a red tab on the top or a blue tab, and the bees had to learn that if it had a red tab they needed to turn that tab clockwise to open it, and if it was a blue tab they needed to turn it counterclockwise. So I mean it's a simple puzzle, right? But it's still I mean for a bee
learned it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So the bees would easily learn to solve it reliably, and this is the next step that they took, is they would then put that same puzzle into a group of bees, and with the puzzle they would put one of the bees that had already learned how to do it
them. Cool, to see if he would teach all of his buddies kind of
yeah
they
and
do
so
with,
they found yeah. exactly they found that the other bees that were put in a situation where they called it a demonstrator bee that would demonstrate how it's done,
sure,
those bees learned much more quickly how to solve that puzzle.
It's like a
it's
bee,
like they have a hive mind.
Yeah, like a hive mind, right. But also it's like a little bee TED talk or something. They all had to learn.
Exactly. He had like a little bee earpiece on and
love it.
Exactly.
Love it.
Yeah. But that's amazing. So instead of that says that it's not just like we were just talking about it's just stimulus response, right? Like you bump into another ant's head, it looks like a piece of food, so you'd pick it up. but that's not what this is happening here. This is clearly a bee was doing it, and the bees were watching that bee do it and learning from that.
Interesting. Right. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I like to think that, do you think that indicates anything about like how they may have, they could yet evolve? Meaning, you know, probably for not sure. our lifetime, but
living things don't stop evolving at all. So I guess that's true. It could sure go in a direction that requires, you know, is there going to be some sort of an advantage to this? I would think so. I mean, there's got to be a huge, bees are social creatures. They live in groups. So you would think that there has to be a big advantage to being able to learn quickly different behaviors. And maybe that's what leads to this next thing that I was talking about. Remember, I mentioned culture. So culture, like operationally defined, you might think is like a social learning that is being passed on to other groups, but also down through generation. Right. So you're passing, you're learning socially, but you're also passing that on down to from generation to generation. That could be an operational definition of culture.
Right.
So they found this in honeybees. Honeybees famously have this dance that they do. The waggle dance, the wiggle or waggle dance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what they do is that whenever a bee finds pollen or nectar, actually, the bees are just collecting pollen by virtue of being around the flower, but they're looking for the nectar. So when bees find nectar, they go back to the hive and they communicate that to other bees by doing this dance. And the dance is pretty interesting. It's complicated. It has different dimensions for how they can tell other bees which direction to go, how far to go, all this kind of stuff.
It's like, you turn right and then waggle. 10 feet. All right. And then waggle. Go another 10 feet and then turn right.
Right. And it is just like that. It's like the direction of the figure eight, because it's in amazing. A figure eight and everything. Yeah, it's very crazy. Cool. And so what they found is in hives of bees, what will happen is the way bees learn that dance, and this is what the paper is about that they were able to show, the ways bees learn is at about 8 days old, a new bee will start to shadow an experienced dancer.
A newbie.
A newbie.
Yeah.
I love puns. Have I ever told you how much I love puns?
Oh, yes. We know you love puns. Sorry. I mean,
puns are fun. I like puns. They're great.
Yeah. So at 8 days old, the bee will start to shadow an experienced bee dancer and learn from that bee. And at 12 days old, that bee will start to dance on their own, and they will mimic. Their dance will be the same as the dance of the bee that they shadowed. And then they pass that on to another generation and so on and so forth. And interestingly, this develops different styles that bees have, or what they call dialects, because it's a form of communication, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so not only can individual bees have their own style or dialect, they were able to show that on the colony level or the whole hive level, there are distinct dialects between hives, different types of dances, that they are communicating the same thing, but in slightly different ways. And so this can be, from our operational definition of culture, this can be thought of as a culture. Right.
Interesting. Yeah.
A bee culture.
It's a simple culture, but a culture nonetheless. You know.
Right. I mean, it's generational learning that is being passed on. And that's just, it's not, the point again is that it's not simple stimulus response like was previously thought. This is social learning. It's actually being demonstrated from one bee to the next.
Wow. That's crazy. So, have you ever done the thing? This is takes back to ants, I guess. Maybe it works with bees, but I saw it on some video, so I thought I'd try it. If you get an ant on a piece of paper and you draw with just a ballpoint pen, just like a Bic pen or whatever, you draw a path or some walls, it won't go past them. It's chemical thing.
I've seen that with ladybugs. Maybe you're talking about ladybugs.
I thought it was an ant. Well, I did it with an ant and it worked.
Yeah.
But it was a Sharpie, and that may have helped because it was stinky. You know, because Sharpies kind of reek a little bit. Mm-hmm. So maybe that, you know, the chemical reaction's stronger or something. But they would see, they'd get up next to it and go, oh, shit, and move the other way. Oh, shit, can't go there. So I'd create like a little path, and he could only go through the path, and he just followed through the little two-lane path where I wanted him to go, which I thought was pretty wild. Cool. Yeah. Nothing doesn't really tie into bee culture.
I have seen that, like I said, with a ladybug. I've never tried it myself.
Yeah. Well, try it with a man bug next time, and he's just going to tell you F off.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's fascinating.
He'll stop before he gets to the Sharpie and ask for directions.
That's right. Yeah. The ladybug always stops and asks. The man bug's like, F you. I'm not talking. I'm not stopping for nobody.
I'm not lost. No, I'm lost.
Everything's fine. If I fall off this table, whatever. That's just the way life was meant to be. Bobby, fascinating stuff as always. I always love hearing about this stuff. And there'll be more great science content coming up on This Week in Science. Nope, that's not the name of it. It's All Around Science. And
All Around Science.
Tell me about the show and what you guys are talking about this week.
Well, the show is All Around Science, like you finally got to. Yep. And we talk about science every week. We talk about what's in the news and just what we find interesting. The episode that came out yesterday, we talked about, it was inspired by what I talked to you guys about recently, which is speed reading.
All right.
We ended up breaking this up into, we recorded the whole thing, but we ended up breaking it up into two parts. And the first part came out yesterday where we just talked about the science of reading.
Interesting.
And just how our brains learn to read, why we learn to read, an interesting thing called the reading paradox, which is that our brains evolved in the state that they are now 100,000 years ago, but we only learned to read about 6,000 years ago. But there's distinct places in the brain that process language in its reading form and written form. So it's just an interesting, why is that, and what parts of your brain are you using and why and stuff like that. So we talk all about that.
Sounds fascinating.
All Around Science.
Yeah, go check it out wherever you get your podcasts. It's Bobby Frankenberger. Have a fantastic week and go fly a plane.
You too.
Bye now. All right, let's see if we can cross my fingers. I'm going to close this.
Oh, God, I'm worried.
I think they solved it.
Oh,
because we haven't had a problem for weeks. I think we're good.
Yeah.
Never knew, though, for sure. All right, before we get out of here, a quick note. Play Retro got moved again, and actually we're going to make this permanent. We're going to it's starting to be that Tuesdays are hard for both Brian and I. Things keep kind of coming up, and we're bumping to Wednesdays a lot. So we decided, hey, why do we do that? Let's just make it Wednesdays. So it's a busy day for me because I'm on DTNS right before, but we're going to do Play Retro tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., and from then on, Wednesdays, unless otherwise told. So just letting people know if that's where they wanted to check that out. If they want to watch that show, that'll be tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time at twitch.tv/frogpants. So watch for that. As always, join us on our Patreon, patreon.com/TMS. You don't ever want to get ads? Great. That's a great way to do it. Do you want couch parties on the weekend? We like those. You will too. Do you want art in the mail? How about other cool benefits like pre-show content every single day and post-show for this show? Only way to do it is for you to go to patreon.com/TMS, and for as low as $1 a month, you're in like Flynn. Okay. Brian, let's get out of here so I can make the stupid phone call I have at 11.
Aww,
sorry. Well, it's not stupid. Look, I have a secret to tell you.
Ooh.
There's another game called Factorio that's a lot like Satisfactory, but it's top down.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about this, yeah.
Plays on the Mac real well, and it's a perfect thing to play while boring people on a Zoom call. You know what I mean? Like, you know those calls where you have very little to do with what's happening, but you still need to be there?
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw it out there that Factorio, beautiful way to spend your
time. Is that on Steam?
It is on Steam. Yeah. Oh. It's a great game. You'd love it. It's very much, it's basically Satisfactory, but what if the camera was up here?
And, oh, see, I like that.
Yeah, you control it more like an RTS sort of thing, but it's the same kind of game.
That is the one. I mean, I love Satisfactory, but as the only complaint I have is like, all right, oh, too close to the.
Yeah, there's a lot, especially when you're putting down buildings. It's like, oh shit, yes. Right in my face. I gotta put it over here. Yeah. So if you like that game, but you want to have a little bit more of a godlike view, that and Dyson Sphere, both excellent, really good.
Cool. All right.
That'll do it for us. Hey, Brian, I need you to play a song if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Yes. Another sad one here. Another sad dedication. This one coming out to Tinnock, who says, today marks 1 year since the passing of one of my best friends to cancer. We went through many choirs together, and he had this amazing bass voice. I always imagine him walking through the wide open fields of gold, and it gives me some solace. Love you, Jacko. You are surely missed more than you can imagine. Signed, Tinnock. Promise Tomorrow, by the way, is a birthday request.
Oh, gotcha.
Another sad one. We can't have so many sad ones in a row.
Jeez.
All right. So this is Fields of Gold. Of course, the song originally done by Sting. This one covered by The Idea of North from their album Ballads from 2016. I may have played this one on the show before. I can't remember, but it is really, really good. Here is The Idea of North and Fields of Gold.
That'll do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Get more podcasts like this at frogpants.com.
Is it a human bone, Gramps?
Might be, boy.
Might be.